scale me up, Scotty. Calculate, got me up late. Gotta make another tray for Sunday. Ay, can't wait, not enough bait. Frost on my opponents, gonna call them cupcakes. And it's no hate, just facts. There's just no way I'm last. Technically, I'm last. 101 pick, I'm bad. Bad at the bone, ain't mad at the dome. Ain't rather than know the anatomy. Know a value of roses, dandy to know the man. JPAZ, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Bienvenido al Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, un espectáculo dedicado a los oficios de la dinastía de fútbol de fantasía y los valores de los jugadores, con sus anfitriones Juan Pablo Hurley, Easy Alcafaz y
Juan Mosier.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, your leader in dynasty trades, right? Izzy, the worldwide leader in dynasty trades.
Worldwide.
I see why you're speaking a different language. Mm-hmm. That makes
you
sense,
like that?
Actually. Man, you are a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not being sarcastic. You're so smart.
Thank you.
Sí. ¿Dónde están mis patrones?
Oh, gracias. Ah, sí.
Well, today, for this podcast, we're going to talk about a few things. We've got the Dynasty 5. We're going to mix it up a little bit. We've actually researched the top 5 most searched players in the Dynasty Trade Calculator database. And we're going to break them down and discuss maybe why people are searching them so much and maybe talk a little bit about their values. Pretty excited about that. There's actually a pick mixed into it, too. So
Ooh. You'd
be really surprised which pick it is. I'm going to let that suspense kind of marinate a little bit. Let that marinate.
Yeah.
Pal. Let that marinate, pal.
Pal.
What you're supposed to say, right? Yeah. We've got a dynasty strategy topic. We like to bring one of those up once in a while. This one this week is called Choosing Your Opponent. It's kind of fun. This is a very real, it hits home, right, Izzy? It's a very close to the heart kind of strategy topic here.
Yeah, very applicable.
Very applicable. Something that's happening right now with Izzy, but it's got a good message. And then we're going to wrap things up with, we've got a couple of players to cover. Josh Gordon, one of them, and the Cleveland Browns, another. And then we're going to try to finish things off with a quick episode of Dynasty Trade Wars. So we got a lot to cover. We've been off for like 3 weeks, so we got to make up for it. Make up for lost ground, like the estranged father that came back after getting milk and cigarettes at the gas station and took off, right?
Yeah, kind of how it feels with Josh Gordon's dynasty value, but...
Yeah, my dad did that to me, actually, but we're good now, right? We're good.
You made it this far.
So Dynasty 5. So the first one, the number one searched player slash.
Why are we not leading? Why are we not leading with Josh Gordon? I feel like
it's Dynasty
5.
It's the Dynasty 5. Do you want to do that?
Should we just get it out of the way?
Let's get it out of the way. And that's kind of cool. That's a good theme for him too, because finally I'm gonna put this to rest. So like Izzy has been obsessed with Josh Gordon throughout his entire fantasy football career, Josh Gordon's NFL career. I shouldn't say your fantasy football career. And we can finally stop talking about him, maybe. Like, I think this is it. This is the death blow to Josh Gordon's career. And I feel bad for the guy. Like, he just couldn't, you know, follow the NFL rules. And I think this is going to be the death stroke for his NFL career. This is it. So this might be the Josh Gordon-Izzy swan song, right?
I'm putting him out to pasture. It's over. It's done. It was fun.
You dropping him, though? Does that mean put to pasture? Is it a drop or are you selling him?
I mean, here's the thing. I'm never going to drop him unless I already said unless he needs to either hit 40 or he needs to be dead, whichever comes first. So if he's still 39 years old, he's going to be on my roster just because he did a lot for me in 2013. So I'm sticking with him.
You're living in the past, man. You're like Frank the Tank from Old School right now. Just like so living in the past.
I can't let my guy go.
Right now, you're like a 30-something guy streaking up to the quads, and nobody is going with you.
Do you remember the joke with Ashley Lee in one of our leagues where I didn't drop him for like 3 years because I liked him so much, and he was like long gone? I'm gonna do the same thing with Josh Gordon just because he's meant so much to me. He's my brand, you know, like I've loved Josh. So he's sticking on my roster until he's either dead or 40.
You want to know what I think?
It's stupid, yeah.
All right, put on an extra pair because I'm going to knock your socks off here. But unless you have unlimited IR on your roster, drop Josh Gordon. That's it.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, anybody else not named me should drop Josh Gordon. I agree.
Yeah,
with
if
that.
You if your league allows for suspended players to be on IR and it's like you're literally unlimited IR positions or you're just not using it.
Not even. It almost doesn't matter. Does it matter?
Yeah. I mean, maybe nostalgia, like what you're going for, some sentiment. Like maybe it. I got it. Like if your team name has something to do with Josh Gordon in its title, you might need to find a way to keep him, right?
Potentially. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I honestly just enjoy the pain, opening up the roster and just the pain every time I look at my team. Reminded of the mistakes I've made in life, and it keeps me humble. It keeps me humble.
Keeps you grounded. That's like your totem.
Yeah, I have to. I mean, Mo, are you ever dropping Tom Brady?
I don't own him anywhere, but if I did.
Oh, okay.
No, I'd ride the wheels off because you're either not getting what you want for him or your league's a bunch of haters and, you know, they intentionally offer you thirds and fourths, which is stupid. You'd rather have him as a backup or just, you know, go off into the sunset on a team that loves him.
Exactly.
But why didn't you ask me about Mariota though? Why'd you ask for Brady?
Oh, Mariota. Yeah, it's a good question. What about Mariota? Yeah,
I was waiting for that to come. And it's not the same deal, but
I agree.
You know, there's some future there, maybe.
I don't think there's a good example. Maybe Hurley and Jonas Gray, but it was such a brief, like, romance that you can't compare it. Like I've been Jerkin' Josh for
which coincidentally that's your team name. That's why you have Jerkin' Josh.
It's a great team name. Since he was drafted in the supplemental draft, and I've stuck with him this whole time, so I can't let go.
That is the cool thing, though. You can actually, like, your team names will have that name forever now because that was always your favorite player. I'm the Jonas Gray Phenomenals, mm-hmm. and you're the Jerkin' Joshes.
I like it. It's a great ring to it. Yeah. Not gonna lie to you. I like it.
I'd love for someone to chart the sell windows for Josh Gordon though over the years, and just see like do a retrospective of what could have been, you know, if you didn't. Because a lot of people, I think, just said, you know, I know I can get a first right now, but I know I can get a couple if I just wait, you know, wait for a breakout year.
You know what his career, like the comebacks and the departures are like. It's like the Simpsons gif where the guy walks in, puts his hat on.
Yeah.
Or takes Grandpa. His hat off, puts it on the rack. Yeah. Put in and walks back out. That's kind of the windows that you had to sell Josh Gordon.
It's instant window. Oh, God.
It's so true, though. What I got to know, so since we're kind of discussing this a little bit, Josh Gordon has had probably 5 or 6 chances like we're highlighting here. Why didn't Justin Blackmon get any more chances?
Because he's not good.
What are you talking about? He was excellent.
Well, plus, I think Blackmon was like a little bit of a psychopath on top of, like, he was a drunk and he had a lot going on, and he didn't really. I think he was getting chubby too. I think he stopped caring.
He straight up gave up, is what happened to Blackmon. At least with Gordon, he could psych himself into, hey, I'll get better. It'll be different this time, and then he just repeat the cycle. There was no cycle with Blackmon. It was just, I screwed up and now I'm done. True.
Yeah, what do you get, like a DUI and then sort of forget I'd rather just drink all day? Is that kind of the idea?
He kept drinking. Like you would see on social media, random Justin Blackmon sightings. You know, he'd be like on a bus looking like a homeless man, you know, and someone would be like, this guy just asked me for $10, you know. And they're like, that's Justin Blackmon.
That's I don't know. Gronk made it work. I don't understand why Justin couldn't.
He was close to getting another contract too, which is the amazing thing. He wasn't very far. He didn't have to wait that long.
Yeah, and it's crazy to like think like Darren Waller is a good example.
Mm.
Apparently, he had addiction problems and he knocked them, and now he's
a baller.
He got a big, nice, big contract, and
yeah.
So it's possible.
Yeah,
Josh just couldn't get it done.
Safarian Jenkins is another good example too of like, you know, a guy who had promise.
Dude, I love all those guys. The best part is like, I was a huge ASJ fan, if Hurley remembers. I just I can't.
You're softy.
I can't get away from these guys. Antonio Callaway, I loved. Josh Gordon, I loved. ASJ, I loved. you can love the guys, and this is something that you can love the guys as long as it doesn't get in the way from your decision making and you don't take advantage of certain opportunities, right? Which yeah. I do a pretty good job of. I love my guys, but I don't overpay, and I don't, like, Josh Gordon was a guy, like, he came back and he was on the Patriots and I didn't pay for him and I didn't draft him in drafts unless he fell a lot later than, you know, he should have, that type of thing. And I think a lot of people get fixated on guys and they overdraft them continuously, regardless. And I think a good fantasy owner does not do that. They're able to let go of fandom in favor of value and making the right decisions.
Yeah. It's not easy. I mean, we just get latched onto certain players. Like, we've got a friend who's just gung ho about DeAndre Hopkins, and that'll never change. Like, he'll join every league and try his best to acquire him, whether it's an overpay or not.
Yeah, I didn't tell you this, but he loves him so much that about 7 or 8 weeks ago, he traded Michael Thomas and a first for DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, and
because the other owner knew that he loved DeAndre Hopkins that much.
As shocking as it is, I'm not surprised, and it's expected. So. He wants him on his team. He enjoys fantasy more when he has him. So,
and that's cool. Yeah,
it's too bad the other guy knew that.
Yeah,
took advantage right there. That's for sure.
But yeah, and the best part about it is they had the same exact record. It's four teams make the playoffs. They had the same exact record in the league, and the guy that he traded Michael Thomas to edged him out barely.
Oh boy, that sucks.
So, yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting, but
that hurts. That's pretty good for Josh Gordon. It's kind of like becoming a dynasty news segment. So maybe we can continue on with our dynasty news before we go into the next segment here. But I had the Cleveland Browns written down. Josh Gordon played with them for many a years. In fact, I think there's going to be.
Wait, can, like, we pour little, one out for him too, real quick?
You know what? We've had a total of 4 moments of silence on our podcast in the history of the 4-year podcast history. I think we can have one. I think Josh Gordon warrants a moment of silence. I feel like Taps is appropriate here. I don't know why. Izzy's got a tear in his eye, like, legitimately crying. Well, let's go on. So the Cleveland Browns organization almost warrants a moment of silence. They are in complete disarray. I think the most recent things that I've seen tweeted were that there were multiple Cleveland Browns players on the sideline of the Arizona Cardinals games talking to the coaching staff, begging for them to trade for them. This is something I've never seen before, and it's quite comical, but it's very real. The organization's, the Browns organization, a complete mess. Izzy, what do you do with all this?
The Browns, man. It just doesn't. They can't shake it.
Oh, it's so bad.
It is what it is. They're the Josh Gordon of the NFL teams. Like, it's as much promise as it looks to have. It ain't it.
Mm-mm.
The Browns ain't it. They'll never be it. Baker Mayfield was not the guy. He's not the personality that they needed.
What do you expect from him? Let's just go down the line on a couple of the key players here. So Baker Mayfield.
I hate him so much. I hate him so much that I don't want him to be good, so I expect him not to be good. I despise Baker Mayfield. I think he's such a tool bag. So yeah. I'll never root for him. I'm happy that he's having struggles. I'm happy that Landry and OBJ want to leave him. It all makes me very happy. And the best part about it, you can tell who the good guys. I mean, Nick Chubb is just going about his business, doing his job and staying quiet and just plodding away. And I shouldn't say plodding. That's an insult. Plugging away. How about that? And he's leading the league in rushing. I think your Derrick Henry bet that you put in Vegas is in second place.
You know, I'll take that. We're within striking distance.
You are.
You're right. Yeah. So I think you said, so Baker concerns you. Do you see Baker? Obviously, it seems like Kitchens is going to be gone, right?
No, the Browns front office doubled down on Kitchens. They gave him a vote of confidence.
Okay. So you think Kitchens will be around, and do you think Baker will stick around too?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, they're not going to get rid of him.
All right, so Baker's going to continue to stink it up, and maybe he'll have some flashes, which could provide some sell windows, but Nick Chubb is going about his business, he said, so he's safe. What about Kareem Hunt?
I think he gets tendered. Another team scoops him up for $8-9 million, and the Browns let him go.
Don't they get a compensatory pick out of that?
Yeah, they would. They tender him. If they tender him to his original draft pick, and I mean, they could do that. They could, I mean, depending on what they have, I don't know their situation, but they could tender him to a second. And then maybe they can get him for dirt cheap because no other team is probably going to want to pay him and give that
up. Yeah, he's probably going to command top 10 money, right?
No, I don't know. I don't know about top 10 money.
Yeah, I could see him going back to the Chiefs.
Like I said, I think $8-9 million is probably the appropriate number there.
Yeah.
So they could tender him to a second. I don't know their situation, though. I'd have to dig deeper into it. And if they got that, that would be that'd be a win. I just don't see him returning.
Yeah, I could see other teams kicking around the idea of signing Hunt.
Yeah. And you have to think about this. How bad of a situation does it have to be for Landry and OBJ, who are best friends, to want to leave? And they're not, and they're going to go, like, they're obviously not going to go to the same team. So it is so bad that they want to leave Baker Mayfield, who is supposed to be an ascending young player, and to go to completely different situations.
Yeah.
So it's either Kitchens, or it's either Baker, it's both, it's everything. Who knows? But it's pretty telling.
Pretty sad. So then, so you briefly touched on OBJ and Landry. Do you see them gone in the offseason?
No.
You don't think they'll find a way out?
No. No, I think they stay.
So that's a good thing. So, like, I would almost be concerned. Not only if they stay because of, you know, your concerns with Baker Mayfield, but this could be like a potential holdout situation, right?
For what? Holding out just like because they want to trade?
Yeah. Melvin Gordon's was more about his contract than it was commanding. Later on, he demanded a trade.
What was the last player that commanded a trade? Trent Williams?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Right? Trent Williams, did Albert Haynesworth at one point maybe demand a trade? I can't remember, but
I think Stephon Diggs did for like a week.
But he never sat out. He
sat out of practice.
That was the rumor, yeah. I don't know. I the Browns situation is, I think you could safely buy the Browns players because they've taken such a hit in value. There's really not much devaluation that can occur to OBJ or to Baker Mayfield, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, can you see OBJ is probably outside the top 12 in dynasty wide receivers right now? Outside the top 10 for sure, right? In terms of what people would want on their team?
Mm-hmm.
You think he's fallen that far?
Mm-hmm.
Hurley?
Top 12. No, I don't think so.
No, really? Okay, so who are the
Definitely, he's fallen out of the top 12 overall, but I don't think he's fallen out of the top 12.
No, I'm talking just receivers. Let's talk about him.
Wow, that's, man. Yeah, I'd say he's fallen. I'd say he's in the 10 to 12 range.
Who's the 10? Let's look at this.
I'm going to DynastyTradeCalculator.com to look at rankings because the rankings on DynastyTradeCalculator.com are in order of what the calculator's values are. So it's not somebody's opinion. It's actually market value, the order of market value. It's kind of a slick tool. It's free.
Mm.
Michael Thomas, number one. DeAndre Hopkins, number two. Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, Amari Cooper, five. Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, OBJ at number eight, and then Keenan Allen, Cortland Sutton, Kenny Galladay, DJ Moore. Those are the top 12. And then followed closely by Juju Smith-Schuster, Julio Jones, Stephon Diggs, just to name a few.
Okay.
There's a tier break after that top 15.
So where would you put OBJ in that?
I'd still put him in the 10 to 12 range. I would have a hard time taking like Galladay ahead of OBJ, just because of ceilings.
What about Sutton?
I would have a hard time taking Sutton ahead of OBJ. I like Sutton a lot.
What about Juju?
Yeah, because he's going to get Ben back.
I like Juju ahead of OBJ. Yeah,
you would take Juju ahead of OBJ?
Emphatically.
So there you go. Emphatically. I mean, he's already sliding.
Okay, so he's at 9. Would you take who's behind him?
Julio, Keenan. Stephon Diggs.
DJ Moore. Keenan. I think some people would rather have DJ Moore over OBJ right now.
Yeah. Who would you rather have, DJ Moore or OBJ?
Man, DJ Moore surprises me. I mean, the quarterback situation in Carolina is so unclear, so I think it's kind of a wash. I'd probably say OBJ just because of ceilings.
Okay.
OBJ's young enough where, like, his situation can change too, you know?
He's going to be 27. Or he might be 27. Which is crazy.
That is crazy. I'm going to look that up. I'm going to fact check your ass.
He's actually been relatively unproductive for fantasy teams for the last few years.
I mean, there's no denying that. He's 27. He just turned 27 last month.
Right. So he's living in 3 years of past. He's basically the baby Josh Gordon.
Yeah, it gets worse from here. So what you do, you sell, and if you want him, buy him back in a year, you know? And then
yeah. You think it's going to get worse?
I think it can get worse, yeah.
I don't know.
You start him right now hoping he puts up wide receiver 3 numbers on your team. Hoping.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, yeah. No, it's actually a good point.
So if it continues like this, I think the patient equity just runs out, you know?
So I'm in the 10 to 12 range. Where are you guys? Are you taking all of those aforementioned guys ahead of him? So Keenan, let's just go down the line with you guys too. So Mo, Keenan or OBJ?
We're all in agreement on the top 7, correct?
I'm good with that.
For now, yeah. I mean, I think Juju can be right back in there again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I agree. So that's an easy one. For me, I do add Sutton. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a close one, but I'd say Sutton right now. I think he's got more ceiling to go.
Izzy, what about you?
I'd take Sutton for sure.
What about Keenan or Galladay?
Galladay for sure.
DJ Moore. What about
DJ Moore or Keenan?
I don't know what's up with that whole Carolina situation is worries. I'm going to say no on DJ Moore. Even I can see the case for him. I mean, the big reason with Beckham is his theatrics. If he goes to a new team, I don't think he does, but if he goes to a new team, there's always that he needs a good 6 to 12 months of play to actually get in tune with the quarterback. There's a concern there. I don't know if I mentioned the injuries, but he's dealt with injury problems the last few years. So there's just a lot of baggage with OBJ.
Yeah.
And it's just, if yeah. I can get one of these other guys that is younger, has similar promise, has, you know, wide receiver 1 promise, like with Galladay and Sutton, those guys are future wide receiver 1s. If Galladay already isn't a wide receiver 1 this year, so I like that. Why do I need to chase OBJ when I can just get those guys that are younger and safer right now?
So you were indifferent on, you guys were indifferent on DJ? I can't remember what you said.
DJ Moore, I'd rather have OBJ.
Then what about Juju?
Really, if you think about it, what's OBJ's ceiling? 1,310? 12? Sure. Like, is it really that dominant? Like, to where you're looking at him and saying, oh my God, OBJ, he's going to put up, he's not putting up Hopkins numbers or Michael Thomas numbers or even Davante Adams numbers. So you're really looking at him as just a touch below them anyways. Even in his best year was 14, 50, and 13. That's a great year, but that was 5 years ago.
100 catches. I mean, that should be a ceiling though.
Yeah, that's the ceiling, but his ceiling is lower than what most people think when they think OBJ, and B, lower than most of the top tier guys anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, he had back-to-back, basically 100 catch, 1,400 yards, and double-digit touchdowns. That's pretty good ceiling.
Yeah, it is, but it's still a notch below the top 3.
Okay.
So I'm just saying it's not in there. He's not in the same echelon as those guys, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, anyways, I think he's right outside the top 10.
So that's pretty good. That was an in-depth breakdown of the Cleveland Browns and then some bonus coverage. That's pretty good.
Yep.
Okay, so it's time for the top five most searched assets in the Dynasty Trade Calculator database. Starting with number one, this might, Izzy, I want you to put an extra stocking cap on because this is going to blow your mind. Put a hat on. You got a hat on. Mosier, put a hat on. This is going to blow your mind. You're never going to believe what the number one most searched asset is in the Dynasty Trade Calculator database. It is the 101 pick, leading by a considerable amount. We saw the percentages. This is such a fun thing to look at from time to time, but the 101 heavily searched rookie fever in full swing. Many teams are eliminated from their league's playoffs, so they're already looking to the future. The 101 heavily searched, it's currently valued in the 30s on the Dynasty Trade Calculator, and that's equivalent. Let's take a look at some equivalencies. And Izzy, that's equivalent to a Melvin Gordon, which is a 25.2 in the Dynasty Trade Calculator. Leonard Fournette, 24.6. Stephon Diggs, 24.4. Julio Jones is a 27.0. So like maybe that's what we'll do. So Izzy, what would you rather have? The 101 in 2020 or Julio Jones?
I'll take the. I mean, I always tell this to people, like, you should look at it from not necessarily the player, but the production. So what would you rather have? 3 years of top five at the position? Like, would you draft that at 101? At least 3 years of top five at the position. Would you take that? And the answer usually is yes, but not in this draft class. So I'm going to say I would rather have the pick.
Well, and the answer, I mean, that's a loaded question because that's saying that your league doesn't trade and you can't, like, move that, you know, like, I think we covered Julio enough in the previous segment to know what our answer should be, you know?
Well, Mo probably would rather have Julio, right?
No, I want the pick. I want the pick this year.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to keep going up then. So I think we've identified the players below it probably are not good enough, but.
So if Julio's a top 10 wide receiver for you, you're trying to tell me that pick is worth a top 10 wide receiver?
Yeah, he values picks higher than the player. I think Mo understands that in the next few months the pick's going way up.
Oh, I agree with that.
Well, that's a good question. So OBJ or the 101? Is he?
OBJ.
Okay, wow.
He had to think about it though.
Yeah, because it's just the season, right? You know, I like the flexibility that the 101 gives you, but I don't think you're getting a better player than OBJ for the 101. I just don't think you're.
Wow.
I mean, not right now.
You don't think Jerry Jeudy will have enough value and hype? Yeah, I think Jeudy is going to trump OBJ pretty quickly here. Yeah, as soon as the championships wrap, everyone's attention is going to be rookie. OBJ is going to be complaining. I just don't see it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's OB. You can make a case. I can be convinced, but.
Well, let's keep going down the line. I want to find. I think we identified Izzy's line. Travis Kelce coming in at 27.7. Izzy, Kelce or 101?
Kelce.
Mo?
I am not a tight end advocate high in the draft. Please, yeah, give me the pick.
I agree. I'm off Kelce. I agree with that, actually. I think it's a great time to move away. I think he'll probably, I mean, similar to Julio, he'll probably have some 3 to 4 years of solid production, like tight end one, tight end, you know, top one or two at position. But I think it's a good time to say goodbye.
Like, you're drafting a running back with the 101. You're drafting a Swift or whoever, or Taylor, and that's fantastic, right? You're getting a great player. And I'm talking purely from what would I rather have, I would probably want the pick because I think I can get more come draft time. But if I'm talking purely in a vacuum right now, not discussing future trades, if Kelce was in this draft, I would probably take Kelce.
I don't see how Kelce and Julio are any different, to be honest. I'm a little bit surprised by your...
Tight ends typically last longer.
Okay, I mean, we'll tell that to Gronk.
I feel more confident in Kelce playing into his mid-30s than I do Julio. And you're getting positional premium for the next few years.
I mean, it's like good Kelce, that Kelce's could...
tied to Pat Mahomes for at least 3 to 4 years of prime tight end production years. I want that.
Do you know how old Travis Kelce is?
31.
He's 30.
Okay, so he's 30. Even better. I thought he was 31.
You were saying you're confident he'll play into his 30s. I mean, he's already doing it, though.
No, so,
I mean,
mid-30s. Mid-30s.
Oh, mid-30s.
Between 30s and mid-30s. So I think he's got four, let's call it four good years of Pat Mahomes production.
So you think he's going to be Gates or Tony Gonzalez, basically?
Or Witten or, yeah, all those guys. Yeah, there's these elite tight ends last long.
All right. Next one coming in at 28.4 in the calculator, Juju Smith-Schuster. So I think we kind of found our line with Izzy for sure. I think you're Juju. I was still Kelce, but the next three are Juju, George Kittle, DJ Moore. I'm on the player on those ones now. I'm indifferent about DJ Moore personally, but Smith-Schuster and Kittle, I'll go the player over the pick.
Okay.
Mo, what about you? Where was your line?
Yeah, for Juju, because I expect a rebound. I think he's a victim of circumstances this year. So, yeah, I'd take Juju.
All right. So I think that's right there. So maybe the pick for us is more like in the between 27 and 30 for value. It's good to know. People value different things differently. Okay, so that brings us to number two. The number two most searched item in the Dynasty Trade Calculator database, Courtland Sutton. And this is, by the way, this is pulled throughout the entire month of December. So Courtland Sutton, heavily searched in the DTC database. Just from a value standpoint, we talked about him briefly in the last segment, but he's coming in at 34.2, which is equivalent to guys like Joe Mixon, Keenan Allen, once again, Odell Beckham Jr., Josh Jacobs, kind of all in that same little tier. Izzy, why don't you break this one down for us and talk about Courtland Sutton's value?
I think there's room for ascension here. You're right. So I'm comfortable with it. I don't think he's a sell candidate. He's doing this with not good quarterback. I mean, Drew Lock hopefully is the answer, but he did it with Joe Flacco and Brandon Allen and who else am I missing?
That's it.
Drew Lock. I mean, so he's not doing it with elite quarterback play, and he's been a stud. So I'm taking Courtland Sutton in this situation. He looks like the real deal. He looks like a future wide receiver one in Dynasty, and lock that in for me.
Drew, lock that in for you, okay.
Drew, lock that in for me, yeah. And if Drew Lock is anywhere near legit, I mean, I think by this time next year, Courtland Sutton's going to be well into the 40s for Dynasty value in the trade calculator.
There you go. Number three in the DTC database is Mike Evans. People are wondering what to expect from Mike Evans' value, and I'm assuming a big spike where from the last week or two, where he's I'm sure he's kind of been changing hands a lot with his injury. People are on win now teams. They're probably moving away from him to get some more win now pieces. I'm assuming that's what was happening, but he comes in at a 41.0 in the DTC database and the for value again. Guys, similar. It's kind of funny. Chris Godwin's right there with him at 42.2, just a little bit ahead of him. Amari Cooper at 43, Tyreek Hill at 44. So kind of in that wide receiver tier, Izzy. What do you think?
I think that's. I think it's about right. I think he's actually, he might be perfectly placed. He's right behind those guys, and I think he's above the others behind him.
Number four. I got that nice voice overlay. Number four. The number four searched player in the calculator database, Juju Smith-Schuster. I feel like we're talking about a lot of the same names here, but...
Because I think all the search players are wide receivers, and that's all we're talking about.
So we're going to skip Juju, because we've covered Juju holistically in this podcast. So we don't need to go through it again. The last one is A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Brown Town.
This is who I've been waiting to talk about all night.
Downtown A.J. Brown. Mo is here for this. A.J. Brown. Coming in the Dynasty Trade Calculator, probably a little bit too low because his performance this past weekend is going to probably springboard him forward a little bit more. He's showing some consistency. Like, he's had a couple games in a row now where he hasn't done that all season. But A.J. Brown came in at 18.8. I'm assuming that'll probably jump him up into the 20s.
Yeah, well, right now that's 18.8. We'd put him at a mid-first. You'd put him significantly higher than that, right? Like, if you were throwing him in at the draft, he would go in the top four, correct?
Yeah, because as it stands, he's below guys like David Montgomery.
Yeah, Monty's going to come down quite a bit, I think.
Debo, Kerryon Johnson, I think I'd take him ahead of all those guys at this point.
Debo and A.J. Brown to me are pretty close.
But with AJ Brown getting the edge, obviously.
No, I think I'd still rather have Debo, but it's close.
Sticking to your guns. Wow.
It's close.
Wow.
They're both similar.
Fair enough. So Mo, you're chomping at the bit on this one. What exactly do you have? Something you want to say?
Well, I've been watching him all year, and as we all know, Mariota made this guy, and Tannehill's just taking the credit. But now, dude, this guy just looks—he looks like he's playing with a bunch of kids out there. And I've been just watching him go. Who does he remind me of, comp-wise? Because I see people doing their own. To me, he's like a little shorter Brandon Marshall. He plays huge. He plays so big. But he, like Brandon Marshall's style, where he plays high padded. He goes up contested catches, but he, you know, his yards after catch are not shifty. It's just pure power and, you know, a little agility mixed in there, but he's not a speedster.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
He's got such a short neck, it throws me off.
He's what?
He's got such a short neck, it appears, on the field, it throws me off. He's like opposite Mike Glennon.
Does that bother you?
It really does. It legitimately bothers me not seeing a neck on a player.
Like Mark Ingram, he's got the Mark Ingram neck?
Yes, exactly. Mark Ingram's kind of due to his, like, his traps are just... His traps just don't stop. They touch his ears. And I don't think that AJ's quite beefed out that way, but I mean, it's similar. It has a similar look. He's Mark Ingram for receivers.
Yeah, he's a stud. I will say I was, I thought Corey Davis would have his breakout this year, and he didn't. And I thought that he would be the wide receiver one for that team, and AJ Brown would be the wide receiver two out of the slot. And boy, was I wrong. Shout out to Aaron Wallace if he's listening to this, because we had a little text conversation about it. And my apologies, sir. You were right.
Moment of silence for Izzy.
Yeah. Hey, you can't get them all.
Can't win them all. Yeah, that's what they say.
And it's funny. I loved AJ Brown, like, coming out, and I brought him down in my rankings because I thought he would be the wide receiver two in a low volume offense. And yeah. Oops.
There it is.
Whoops.
So that rounds out all five of the most searched assets in the Dynasty Trade Calculator database. We got one final segment. We're going to call it like a little bit of an audible, since this is a football podcast. So the audible is, we're going to bring back the old segment, the classic segment.
What the hell's going on out here?
With Izzy Alkafas. Izzy, what is it that's going on out here this week?
So you heard about this because the guy that actually I'm going up against works with you, which we found out not too long ago. So I had the most points in this redraft league, but I was in fifth place, tied for fifth place with a couple guys. I needed the guy in first place to beat the guy in fourth place because four teams make the playoffs. And I needed to beat the third place team to get in. So I beat the third place team. And Monday night of last week, the team in first place had Zach Ertz down 10 points against a fourth place team. That was the only player left for both sides. So Sunday night happens, and he pulls Zach Ertz out of his lineup. So he's throwing the game away. So the team that's in fourth place stays in fourth place, and he'll play them in the playoffs. Sorry, it was fourth, fifth, and sixth. So I was in sixth spot playing the fourth place team, and the fifth place team was playing the first place team. So that was the context. So Monday morning rolls around, and he goes back in the lineup. Puts Ertz back in the lineup. So now I have a chance to make the playoffs. Then he pulls him back out again. And I get a text from him saying, what would you do if you're in my situation? And apparently he had asked you what you would do or what he should do.
And by the way, just giving his perspective, because it's really important, he was struggling whether or not he wanted to choose his competitor for the first round of the playoffs. Because whoever made it in, like if Izzy makes it in, he'll be playing Izzy, the highest scoring team in the whole league. And if Izzy doesn't make it and he plays a weaker team, supposedly.
Correct. So he wanted to play, he didn't want to play my team, which, sure, I get it. My team was pretty dangerous and he wanted to play the fifth place team, the fourth place team, or current fourth, whatever it was. So he wanted to play that team. He wanted to pick that team to play. So he had asked me, I said, hey, listen, like, I would never do that. Like, this is not my style. I'm a karma guy. I believe in good karma. You don't want to be that guy. It's just like tanking. It's like tanking the other way, right? You're picking your opponent. You're tanking a game. You're taking somebody out of your lineup to start nobody so you can play somebody. It's just not a good look. Well, fast forward, he would have gotten obliterated by the team he wanted to play. And right now, he's up 1 point with Jared Cook against Michael Thomas the rest of the way, and the second half just started. So he's going to win this game unless something crazy happens. But what do you guys think of that?
Well, I think number one, I've seen it a lot on Twitter, and we probably got to name it. We got to name the strategy. What is it? You said reverse tanking, but
yeah, I don't
know. It's choosing who you want to beat. It's almost like sniping.
Is it though? I don't know if that's a good. I don't know if there's a good name for it. It's difficult. But how do you guys, like, if you're, so I talked to the commissioner, we watched the UFC fights on Saturday together, and he didn't even know about it, because I didn't bring it up to him. I brought it up to him there, and he said, you know what, if you would have pulled him out of the lineup, I would have just put him back in after the fact, because you can't just not start anybody. So it would have been a moot point anyways.
Interesting.
Because Ertz went off and had like 20 points or whatever he did. But do you think it's okay? Do you think that kind of gamesmanship is okay?
I'll let Mo talk first, because I got a little different perspective.
I do. I think in this case, it's okay, because it's not intentionally harming somebody else to do worse. So he's not spoiling. He's trying to better his position within the rules of the construct of the rules, right?
He was trying to squeeze me out of the playoffs.
Intentionally, to get a better matchup. Okay.
I missed that part. Can I retract? I never want to see somebody screw around, whether it's scoring or otherwise, where someone else deserves to get in and doesn't. That's different. If for whatever reason he was able to finagle, like losing that game, but the same bracket, yeah. Like if the seeding changed,
I'm more okay with that.
Yeah, same. Izzy was in or out. Yeah, it was an in or out situation between these two teams.
Yeah, it was a make the playoffs or miss the playoffs.
I'm not cool with that. No.
Okay, I'm with Mo on that now. There's gray area, yeah. There's gray area with the rule. Like, if you're doing that between two playoff teams, it's a little bit better, but it's still frowned upon, in my opinion, as a commissioner.
Yeah,
I agree. I would rather have somebody not do it. It's not the end of the world. I would prefer to not see that. But as long as everybody's in the playoffs and has some sort of equal shot at winning, that's fine. I just hate the manipulation of the. I just hate that.
And honestly, like the just to from a commissioner, I think Scott Fish does a Commission Impossible podcast, and this would be a compelling topic. I hope he brings it up on one of his. But I think this would be my ruling. Like, as a commissioner, I think people should always field their most competitive lineup, like beyond any reasonable doubt. You know, like if it's benching Zach Ertz, that would break the rule, period. And like, there should be enough of a penalty to warrant that rule, you know?
Yeah.
Always fielding a competitive lineup, always.
I agree with that. And there's a lot of people that disagree, but I think it's a must.
Yeah.
In leagues.
Mo found a cool wrinkle in the rule, though. Like, if it's two playoff teams and it's, you know, manipulating the seeding, that's, again, it's not as bad.
Where do you draw the line, though? Let's say it was for a bye. Let's say he knocks somebody off of the bye into the matchups. How do you feel about that?
I think once you're in the playoffs, it's kind of a whole different game and animal, personally.
So even if it knocks somebody off of the bye?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. If it's seeding only and everyone who deserves to get in, that is the best teams, I'm cool with that. Because it's it added gamesmanship. That's some Belichick shit right there. I love it.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I would say that, again, it's not as bad, but I disagree.
All right.
But it's not something that, it's as a commissioner, it wouldn't be a hill I'd be willing to die on. I'd be like, if you guys are fine with this, then cool. But it's not like the other, not like the Izzy situation.
As a commissioner, you just want no waves, as calm waters as possible.
I got a good name for it, the strategy.
Mm.
It's called a Mexican standoff. There's kind of three teams looking for two spots, and they all got guns on each other.
For us to put this in?
We're for sure going to do the Mexican, Spanish intro now, right? The Mexican intro.
Oh, yeah.
I hope I can
find
it.
But I think, isn't a Mexican standoff derogatory?
No, it's when three guys all have guns, and they're all pointing at each other.
Yeah, but is it supposed to be a compliment to Mexicans?
It's not. It's neither. It's neither nor.
Are you sure?
I'm saying positive. Anything.
Why do they call it a Mexican standoff?
Oh my god!
It's just like, what it's called. That's just.
I know.
What it's called.
I know. But did white people name it a Mexican standoff?
I'm sure something happened over the course of history that where that name was acquired, but it's not derogatory.
Not derogatory, but I'll leave that to you.
I'm positive.
You're positive that's not derogatory. A Mexican standoff.
Is Canadian
bacon, three guys,
is Canadian bacon derogatory towards
Canadians? I think it's the exact same thing. I think you're absolutely right. Canadian bacon is the exact same thing.
Should we call the strategy Canadian bacon then?
In some weird way, I'm more comfortable with it.
Well, Izzy, that finishes Izzy's segment. What the hell's going on here with Izzy Alkafas? The Canadian bacon strategy was executed almost flawlessly, but reversed. Turning itself into a Mexican standoff. I'm going to end this. I'm going to put this podcast out of its misery. This is
Please
the last
do.
Podcast we're ever recording.
Thank you. Thank God.
Put it down.
Thank you guys for joining us. Tune in next week. We're going to talk about, we'll have the Dynasty Trade Wars, we promise. Dynasty Trade Wars segment will come back. Thank you for listening this week, you guys. Tweet at us, at FF Dynasty Trade. Check us out on the website, DynastyTradeTrader.com.
Can't wait, not enough bait. Frost on my opponent's gonna come and cut cakes in. It's no hate, just facts. There's just no way I'm last. Technically, I'm last. 101 pick, I'm bad. Bad at the bone, ain't mad at the domain. Rather than know the anatomy, know a value of roses. Dandy to know the man, JPAZ. Let's go, let's go, let's go.